Welcome back, dear risen official investment gurus. You have risen to the level of official investment guru by dint of work and hard work and effort, and you now understand present value and discount rates. And I know that darn things are weird names and verbs, but you can do the calculations. Go through the worksheets over and over again, because we're going to take a look at one of the most respected and still, I think, the best, in my humble opinion, trusted source of data analysis on stocks, the Value Line, and how we can use data from the Value Line to supercharge our models. And we're only going to use a tiny little bit of all the information that this company offers us. It was traditionally often the only source of that many investors used. I mean, the primary source, along with the annual report and then any other articles that people would read and the like. But this, you know, they've been around since 1931. So that's a lot of their time was before the internet. It's not cheap. It's $50 a month, but there's a, that's for 1700 of the largest companies. There's a 600 stock version for about $220. And then there's another version for like 3,000 small companies, mid-sized companies. But you go to the library. That's why we love libraries. Libraries are cool. And the librarians, I know, as I said, they look kind of scary, but they're very powerful people. You want to make friends with a librarian. I'm a big fan of the Value Line, especially their timeliness and safety indicators. And, of course, their 3 to 5 year price appreciation prediction, which we're going to use in this presentation. One study which ignored transaction costs and tax consequences only used their timeliness indicator. It showed how you would have beaten the market handsomely over a 20-year period by simply buying and selling stocks as they received and then subsequently lost their number one timeliness designation. Now, how's that for that system? You don't even bother doing any research. You just find stocks that have a number one rating for timeliness, and as soon as they lose their rating, you sell them. Don't do that, folks. I don't do that. But it shows how powerful the Value Line is. They make mistakes. They screw up. You know, we could show some examples where they were wrong, AT&T. But more often, like the person who can hit the fastball at 98 miles an hour 3 times out of 10, they'll do better than that. They'll do better than that kind of batting average. So, on slide number 38, we are asking the question, can you find the following? The indicators, the Value Line indicators, the future price projections, the historical data, the cash assets, receivables, inventory, and other assets, the description and the analysis of the business, the historical annual rates, the insider institutional buying and selling, the amount of debt and the number of shares outstanding, the company's financial strength, stability, price growth, and earnings predictability ratings. Because, folks, I call it the sip from the financial fire hose. This is the top page. They call them the Value Line sheets, and what before the internet, this is what you would do. You'd go down to the library, or you'd have them sent to you in the mail, and now it's all computerized. But I still use the sheet. They still have the sheets, the PDF. Now they call them the PDF sheets, PDF reports, I'm sorry. I still use them because I'm used to them. Plus, I just think they're easier than the website. The website's pretty darn powerful, and we'll have a little presentation to show you how it works. But I still use this guy. Now, look, this is what we're talking about, timeliness. See the timeliness? Now, if you're looking at this on your cell phone, my apologies, get to a laptop or a desktop computer. The safety, Johnson & Johnson, oh yeah, very, very safe. The technical, now there's some technical analysis voodoo that's going on here with the Value Line, which they've never divulged how they do it. And we'll take a look at technical analysis in a few chapters. I think it is maybe a little bit better than voodoo and howling at the moon and on a full moon night, but I don't think it's much better than that. And then here are the recent, or actually the last 10 years or so, of data, and showing you the price and then This is the really cool part. Here's the recent price as of the 9th. It was 9th of February. The P.E. ratio and a few other things. Dividend yield, very important. A lot of things. We said it's kind of like an onion. You start pulling the layers back. But we're going to use this puppy right here. This is my favorite part. Look, they will show you what they think the price is going to be in about 3, 4, 5 years. Now, they'll be the first people to tell you, look, this is not a guarantee, and we screw up every once in a while. But more often than not, they are bang on the dot. Sometimes they're really too early. They say it's going to be here in 3, 4, 5 years, and it happens in a year or so. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And here's the price projections again in numerical form. So you got to look at the, you look at it, it's a little bit less than 200 up to about 240 or so. And if we go over here, 195 to 240. And that's not a bad return, right? If you get that, if it goes up to 195 from its current price, it's actually down a little bit from 9th of February, you're still going to get an 8% return. And that's not including the dividends, right? Dividends are 3%, so that's not bad. And then we're going to use this data right here. We're going to use the dividends. We're going to use it. We're going to show you in the spreadsheet how we use the dividends. There's a presentation that shows you how we use these dividends. Notice sales per share, cash flow per share, earnings per share. We're concentrating on dividends. There are many other models that would use sales, cash flow, earnings, book value, and not so much book value. And then they say next year, this is what we expect. You know, here the sales in 2024, we expect them to be $37 a share. We expect them to be $38.25. And then they go out on a limb. And in 2027 to 2029, we think they're going to be $41. And we think those dividends, which are now $4.95, are going to be upwards of $6 a share. Cool. And then here is more information in sales, operating margins. We'll talk about these numbers more in detail when we get to Chapter 5 and look at financial statements. And then on the bottom, we're going to use this puppy right here. We're going to use what they believe. Here are the past 10 years of dividend growth, the past 5 years of dividend growth, and then they believe in the next 5 years or so, the dividends are going to continue to grow about 6%. And then make sure you read this. This is so important. This is my favorite. Read about the company. They tell you about the company, and then they give you their analysis. And, you know, it doesn't look like much, but they don't have to say a whole lot. They kind of wrap it up quite nicely. Now, you're not going to just look at this, folks. You understand? You're not just going to look at what the value line says. But I just love this last paragraph here is where they basically tell you yay or nay. In so many words, they don't actually say go out and buy it, don't buy it. But here, for example, they say this stock is top rated for safety. Yeah, it's Johnson & Johnson. They've been around for 140 years. But the long-term total return potential is below the value line median. Well, you know what? I don't care. It's Johnson & Johnson. You know, no, it's not going to be, it's not a big growth company like an Nvidia or whoever's in the news these days. But it's a whole lot safer than that. You go look at the safety for them. They're not going to be as great. So make sure you peruse this. Don't worry about understanding everything. Obviously, you're not. Where's the institutional trade? I forget. It must be up a little bit higher. Here's the earnings per share, dividends per share, sales per share. Actually, these are the not per share number. These are the per share number. These are real numbers. And you got to notice they're in millions. So it's $22,321,000,000 in sales. Yeah, they're a big company. So what do you think, huh? Slip from the fire hose? Start, you know, we're going to show you. You can go to the library. It used to be at Southwestern. They're not there anymore. My apologies. But they're at the Chula Vista Main Library. They're in several San Diego libraries. We're going to show you how Newport Beach Library allows you to go online for six months. Then you got to go up to Newport Beach, bring your government-issued photo identification of California, and they say, cool, you're one of us now. So, sip from the financial fire hose. Interspersed among the mountain of data, did you notice the highlighted historical dividends, the future stock price predictions, and the predicted dividend growth? There are other models that use the sales, earnings, cash flow, profit margins. Did you read the company analysis? Personally, your humble instructor does not make any decisions about individual stocks without consulting the value line. Now, in the face-to-face class, we would then run to the spreadsheet that uses the value line to quickly calculate the Gordon growth model that we did in presentation two and the discounted cash flow model, which we did in the previous presentation. You can stop the presentation. You can stop this now and go run to that presentation now, okay? Or just do it a little bit later. But once you've done the worksheets and understand the process and use your 99-cent calculator, then you're going to say, Payano, this is getting old. That's why we have the spreadsheets, because the spreadsheets can do it, do the calculations very quickly for us. We can put in our judgment, our numbers, what we think the numbers are going to be. We can use what the value lines has. We might tweak it a little bit and change. We might be different from them. One of the things I forgot to mention, we mentioned it when we look at the spreadsheet in the presentation, is that they give you a big range here. Oh no, I did mention that. They go from the 195 to 240. Now here's where judgment comes in. Which one do you pick? I usually pick the lower end, maybe 200, 205. Some people will pick the higher end. Some people might pick even lower than 195. You see, that's where judgment comes in and your experience. So the sip from the financial fire hose. So now, here is the spreadsheet that we have on the website that you're going to play with, hopefully after you've done the worksheets manually, so you understand what's going on. Because all we need to compute the Gordon growth model and the discounted cash flow model is the recent dividends. Now, I use 7 years. Some people use 5. Some people use 10. I don't know why. You could use 8 or 9 or 10 or 5. You decide. I'm using 7 years. So we type in that data, the stuff that's shaded, and that was on the one line where it said dividends per share. And then the current price, well, this spreadsheet actually grabs it off the internet using Google Finance. Then the predicted price. Now, what did I do? In this case, the midpoint, I took the midpoint of 195 and 240. So I added the two and divided by, I added the two numbers, 195 and 240, and divided by two. I just averaged the two. I would normally pick 205, 210, maybe 200, just to be, because I'm more conservative, right? Now, more aggressive, nothing to do with politics, right? More aggressive investors might pick the 240 or 250. And then we saw that the value line gave their prediction for the next 5 years of dividend growth rate of 6%. So we'll use that. But we also take these dividends that we typed in and we compute the average dividend of the last 7 years. So we're going to use both of these. We're going to use the 6% that value line chose, and we're going to use 5.71%. Now we can override that. We can say, oh, maybe we think they're going to be 7 or 8%. You just type over that. Because remember, you can always make another copy of the spreadsheet and throw away the old one. And so, but we're going to use the 6% that the value line thinks that the dividend growth rate is going to be. And then we're going to use our 5.71% that we calculated. And notice that automatically it does for you the Gordon growth model. Let's read. In the shaded areas, we entered the historical dividends per share, the current price, and the predicted price. Actually, we didn't have to type in the current price. It does it for us. The predicted price in 3, 4, or 5 years. And the value lines predicted dividend growth. The spreadsheet does the rest. This part calculates the Gordon growth model predictions. So remember the second presentation where we did that annual dividends times 1 plus the dividend growth rate divided by the required rate of return minus the dividend growth rate? It does it for you. And notice that because the Gordon growth rate is very sensitive to our required rate of return, the values that we get range from $83, $87 up to $228, $261. Because, you know, as you get closer and closer to the dividend growth rate, the numbers start to get very large. And if we had put in, say, 7 or 8 or 9%, this would have come back not applicable. It would say you can't do that. You can't have a dividend growth rate higher than your required rate of return, because the model blows up then. Are you with me? Now, the Gordon growth model is, you know, a decent tool to use. We don't put too much credence in it. At least I don't. I mean, it points us in the right direction. But my favorite is the discounted cash flow model. And that's what we're going to take a look at on slide 42. Notice here's the same part of the spreadsheet. We just replicated it. And it's going to grab the 6% from the value line and the 5.71%. Well, those two numbers are so close to one another, we're going to wind up with numbers that are very similar. So here's the R average growth rate. And here, that's this part right here, the top one. And then the bottom one is using the value lines. And what it does is it does the discounted cash flow model for us. Remember, we had to go look in the table and do all the multiplications and add them all up. The spreadsheet does it for us. And that's why I hope if you've never used a spreadsheet before, you just start banging away. Don't worry. Just make a copy, mess with it. If you screw it up, just delete it and create a new one. And so notice that because the 5.71% and 6% are so close to one another, our predictions are very close to one another. 165.49, 165.56. And then for at the present value at 8%, it's more, 177 and 177, 177, what? 7 cents away from one another. So that's because these two numbers are so close to one another. We calculated the predictions for the discounted cash flow model using both our computed average dividend growth rate of 5.71 over the past several years and the value line's predicted dividend growth rate of 6% for the next 5 years. And that's why these numbers are so close to one another. But you see, once you've done the spread worksheets, you can use the spreadsheet and it just makes life so much easier. And then you can go in and change the numbers. You can play with them and throw it away and do it over again. I think it's very cool, very cool. Now, here's the last part of the spreadsheet, and that's the internal rate of return. So the spreadsheet automatically calculates for the average growth rate and the value line's predicted growth rate. And notice that we have to put in what we paid for the stock, or the internal rate of return doesn't work. And then over the next 4 years, these are our cash flows. And both, look at how close they are to one another, because these two numbers are so close to one another. They're saying that the model is saying that if we get the cash flows that you say we're going to get, you know, what you believe we're going to get, if we get those cash flows, you're going to get 11.58, 11.59% out of Johnson & Johnson, which I think is pretty darn good, folks. You know, I'm not saying I own Johnson & Johnson. I try to do my best not to tell you not what I don't own, because I don't want you to think, okay, I'm going to buy it because Mr. Piano wants to buy it. But you could do a whole lot worse, in my humble opinion. Remember, this is a company that's been around for over 100 years. The internal rate of return calculations using both our average dividend rate and the value line's predicted dividend growth rate give us similar results. Would you consider owning Johnson & Johnson? Well, if you do, download the annual report, go to the library, take a look at this. Well, this one's given to you, right? And because Johnson & Johnson is one of the 30 Dow Jones stocks, Value Line gives that to you for free. They give you the 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average for free, so you could use those for your assignment. Then you got to look at their competitors. And the Value Line is very cool. If you go find, you have to find the index. There's 1,000, like 1,700 pages. You find the index, and then you'll find the folder that Johnson & Johnson is in. And then their competitors are right next to that same area that where Johnson & Johnson is. You just got to flip the page and see their competitors. I think it's very cool. Would you consider owning Johnson & Johnson? You may have gotten their COVID-19 vaccine. It wasn't as popular here in this area of the country. We mostly got Moderna and Pfizer. But all around the world, people were getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And the cool thing about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you didn't need a second shot. You just got it once. So that was cool about that one. Slide 45. Ay, Paquito Payano, do we have to use this spreadsheet? It's so confusing. Look, folks, again, it's like an onion. Just start peeling away the layers. And don't worry, it's not real money yet, right? Just throw it away and start over. We promised you could perform all the calculations in this course with a 99-cent calculator. We've kept that promise. You can do all these calculations manually, but wouldn't you rather bang away at the spreadsheet until you figure out how to use it? It really isn't that hard, folks. It's like, think of it as like a big bingo calculator. B3 plus I2 plus N15 minus G9 minus G. It's like A columns, A, B, C, D, rows 1, 2, 3, 4. The real prize here is that all we need to do is consult the value line for the data to use on our spreadsheets or our manual calculations. That's the real prize. Because these people, they've been doing it for decades, right? 1931, I think, is when they started. And, you know, they have a pretty darn good track record. They're not perfect. They'll be the first people to tell you we screw up. But more often than not, they are bang on the dot. It's amazing somehow how well they do, in my humble opinion. And if you want to, we could show you some of the mistakes they've made. We can show you some of the things where they did really well, too. They do better than 3 out of 10, folks. It's for sure. Okay. Are you excited? Ready? Because it's your turn. Slide 46. Find a library near you that has the value line, or go online and pick two of the Dow Jones Industrial Stocks, or maybe bounce around the Newport Beach Library until you create its temporary account library website. Before you go, think of a few companies that you would like to research. Maybe downloading their annual reports from the websites beforehand. Ask the reference librarian for the value line. Find the index of companies in alphabetical order. The index will tell you which packet contains the company you are seeking. I've seen the value line in these huge three-ring binders. I haven't seen too many. Mostly what they do is they break it up into little packets. The value line groups the competitors close to one another so you can easily look at the competition. Get lost! In a nice way, that is. I know this is going to sound bizarre, but we love to go to the library. My wife and I, she's into historical novels, and she'll go off and find 5 or more historical novels, and that takes her a couple hours. And I will take my laptop and just start thumbing through the value line, hoping not to stop, to just keep moving until I find something that's really interesting. And that's a fun afternoon for my wife and I. I know some of you would rather eat barbed wire than enter a library, but they're cool, folks. Really, they really are. Anyway, also, the value line has their own commentaries on the markets, and they have their own portfolios for aggressive investors. They have portfolios for very conservative investors, for investors interested in just income. It's pretty cool. Check it out. I get a kick when some speculators trash the value line. They make mistakes too, just like everybody else. But I would sure love to see how those traders' long-term results stack up against the long-term results of the value line. Who do you think would have the better results? I think I know who it would be. Okay, bottom line, slide 47. Oh, you are awesome. Think of what you've learned. But, once we have finished all our valuation calculations, what should we do? Should we really place any value in our predictions? And the answer you probably can imagine is no, 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 no. Rather, we should hurl them into the vast ocean along with the ashes of our dead pets and relatives, or shred them into millions of little pieces and use them as confetti at our next party, or my favorite, burn them in a huge bonfire as we dance naked under the full moon, or all three. We do these calculations to simply tilt the odds in our favor. Instead of placing any significance in our predictions, after we have finished, we should ignore them and ask ourselves some very simple questions. Do I want to own this company? Do I believe this business will continue to succeed? Do I want to be a partner with this business? When you read the... One Up on Wall Street by Peter Lynch. And remember, he wrote this before the internet. So they had the Quotron machine and they had their own information and they had the value line. He would create a 3-ring binder for every company he owned. And he owned hundreds of companies. And he would put articles in there and keep all his calculations and the like. And then before he either bought, sold, or held, he would hold the 3-ring binder up in front of him and give himself the 30-second, 90-second, 60-second pep talk about why he should buy it, or maybe why he should sell it, or maybe why he should hold the company. This is Nike. They are the premier world-class shoe company, and they're into sports and everything, and their competitors are Adidas, and you know, he would give himself, much like the Value Line did with their analysis. And he said that often after he was done that, he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to buy. He knew he was going to sell. He called it the story. Give him, what's the story? And I like to think of that. Every company has a story. And what's the story? And the story changes over time. Right. Warren Buffett says, don't buy a stock, buy a business. Do you want to be a part owner of this business? Dude, would you want to own? If you had enough money to buy Nike and turn it into a private company with you as the owner, would you buy it? Well, if so, go ahead and buy 10 shares. Are you with me? You understand? Don't think of it as a piece of paper or now little bits that you're going to buy and sell and buy and sell and buy and sell. Think of it as a long-term commitment. But of course, we continually go back and do these models. We don't stop just because we purchased them, and we continually read everything about it, download the annual reports, go look at the earnings, watch the earnings calls or listen to the earnings calls. And if that sounds like something you would enjoy doing as a hobby, very cool, folks. There's a very good chance that the industry, first of all, will love you and you'll do well. If that sounds like something, oh my goodness, I'd rather watch paint dry, or I'd rather go to the dentist. That's why there's mutual funds. Neither is good nor bad. But you now, even though you might decide, you know, I really don't want to do this, you now understand discounting a future stream of cash flows. Looking at what a company can return to us in the form of dividends and expected stock price and giving a valuation for that. But again, it's just there to tilt us towards companies that should do well over the long term. Tilt the odds in our favor is the phrase I like to use. And what we will do is we will leave the last word for this chapter from Seth Klayman. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but he wrote a book many decades ago called The Margin of Safety. It's out of print, but it's still an awesome book. If you can find it, and actually, I saw that some of the copies were going for a couple hundred dollars. And they won't, I don't know why they won't reissue it, because somebody tried to reissue it and he got sued, because it's a very good book. I had a chance, one of my very smart friends, who's a lot smarter than me, he lent me that book and I grabbed this quote from it. It's a great quote. The problem is that it is easy to confuse the capability to make precise forecasts with the ability to make accurate ones. Any attempt to value businesses with precision will yield values that are precisely inaccurate. You see? Exactly. We're doing, doesn't it look very precise, all the calculations we're doing? Forget them! After you're done with them, throw them away. We know beforehand that as we make these calculations, there is a 99.99% chance that they will be inaccurate. So why do we perform them? These calculations help us identify companies that are prudent, long-term oriented investors. They won't make us wealthy quickly, but they should make us wealthy unless the world ends, in which case it doesn't matter where your money is. To quote a very wise client of mine, I don't have to win big, I just have to win. I was giving him my spiel, telling him why I believe in, you know, long-term companies that have their roots deep in the economy. And he just looked at me and smiled and he says, I don't have to win big. I just have to win. And I thought, I'm going to remember that one. So here you are, folks. You are now official investment gurus, but you still have a lot of work to do. You got to go back through, do those worksheets over and over and over again. Make sure you can do them manually and then start playing with the spreadsheets and seeing how, you know, it's so much easier with the spreadsheet. You're going to do the first assignment is... are phony companies. They're just more of the same, more worksheets. But then the second assignment is actually to run to the library or grab off the internet the Value Line and pick up two companies. And we hope you get hooked. We hope you get hooked on the discounted cash flow model and the Gordon growth model. Well, hope so. Because now you are official investment gurus, and it is a very weighty responsibility. Never again will you just look at a company and say, oh, you know what? The price might go up. Maybe I'll buy it. Or if someone says, well, why would you buy this company? And well, he said, well, let's sit down and see what the dividends are paying us and see what the expected stock price from the value line is going to be in 3 or 4 or 5 years. And maybe we'll choose a higher value. Maybe we'll choose a lower value. Maybe we'll choose somewhere in between and we'll see what the model says. And then we'll download the annual reports and then we'll take a look at their competitors and they'll say, I just wanted to know whether I should buy it or not. And that's when you say, oh, we got some work to do. I am so proud of you. I am so honored to be able to show you these tools and see you rise. Now, we're not done yet, though. Our next chapter is another chapter on fundamental analysis, where we'll take a look at financial statements and ratio analysis. Don't worry if you've taken accounting. We're not going to create the financial statements. Okay, no. We're just going to use them. The accountants do it for us, okay? We just use them. And the more you know about accounting, the more easy it's going to be to understand what we're doing here. But it's not, they're not hard. And so again, 99-cent calculator, very simple. Dear students, thank you so much for being in our class. Study every day. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College, your family, your friends, your colleagues, and most importantly, to yourself. See you in our next chapter on financial statements and ratio analysis.